You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
Well, I have the great joy of being the one who gets to launch our series on the Holy Spirit. And I feel strongly about the Holy Spirit and His importance in our life. And that's probably because, for me, there were many years where I didn't know what was available to me through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just wasn't taught it. I wasn't exposed to it. I was saved. Jesus was Lord, and I served Him to the best of my ability. But I had no idea what the fellowship would await for me through the Holy Spirit. Now, my understanding of the Holy Spirit growing up is best pictured by this example. Now, after our son Ian got back from Afghanistan, we were able to spend a few weeks of vacation together with him before he went back on duty at the base. And I told you in the Multiply series about our experience waiting for his plane to arrive and the anticipation that came with that waiting. Now, being in North Carolina at the end of September, the outdoor swimming pool at our hotel was open. And I'm not much of a swimmer, but Sid and Ian were in the pool. And Ian was standing waist deep in the water. And he would walk around in the pool, and he would pat the top of the water. And then he'd look at me and he'd say, "Look at all this water." I'm like, "Yeah, uh-huh." And then he'd swim a bit. And then later I would catch him, and he'd be walking around, and he'd pat the top of the water. And he'd look at me and he'd say, "Look at all this water." I'm like, "Okay, yeah." Now, they told us that our soldier, when they returned from a war zone, that they may act a little weird as they acclimate back into non-combat life, and that we needed to be patient with them and to give them space. But I'll tell you, the third time he's in the swimming pool and he's walking around and he's patting the top of the water and he's going, "Look at all this water." I thought, man, he's gone goofy on me. I don't know. And it would be several more years before I truly understand what was going on there. When he was in Afghanistan, he had been stationed for some of the time in a remote outpost in the middle of the desert. And they had been 3 months without running water, drinking only bottled water that was either delivered or airdropped in. And they had no showers for 3 months. They only had these little wipes. Now, can you imagine, for 3 months, this is your refreshing. Just imagine, this little square, this is it. So I liken that to my experience with the Holy Spirit. I had been limited to this little square of refreshing. This limited view of the Holy Spirit for my whole life, when in reality, there was a whole swimming pool available of the Holy Spirit. And He could fill me. He could surround me. He could drench me. He could saturate me. He could refresh me. But my understanding was limited to this. And I just lost my place. Anyway, my understanding was limited to this, but I feel like when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was a lot like Ian. I felt like I was standing in a swimming pool of the Spirit, and I was patting the water going, "Look at all this Spirit. Look at it." And, you know, I get kind of feisty with people who grew up around the Spirit when they say, "You don't need that Holy Spirit stuff, that speaking in tongues. That's all overrated." And I would just say to you, know, you don't know what you're talking about because you've never been without it. You've never had this limited view. So as we talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, we're going to go through just a quick review so that we can make sure and have a good understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Bible talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And each part of the Trinity is unique, and each functions differently from the other, but all of them together are God. And all of the divine attributes that we give to the Father and to Jesus apply equally to the Holy Spirit. He is good. He is holy. He is just. He is God. He is a person and not a it. And he's not a spooky cosmic force. He speaks to us. He's alive and he works in our lives. We receive the Holy Spirit in our life at salvation. You know the saying that Jesus came into our heart at salvation? Well, we got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at salvation. And he will be with us always to guide us and direct us. The Holy Spirit teaches us, and he reminds us of everything that Jesus taught. He convicts us of sin, and he will guide us into truth. But there's more to the Holy Spirit than what we receive at salvation. Jesus, before he returned to heaven after the resurrection, spoke of a baptism with the Holy Spirit that was different and separate than our experience at salvation. Acts 1:4, Jesus is speaking, and this is after he has risen from the dead and he's been with the disciples for 40 days before he returns to heaven. Jesus was eating with his disciples and he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And to be baptized means to be immersed. He's not only just going to be in you, he's going to surround you. He's going to saturate your life. And then verse 8 goes on to say, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And Jesus' final words to his disciples were, "Wait for it." And so that's exactly what they did. And so in Acts 2:1, we see the disciples, when the day of Pentecost came, the disciples and the followers of Christ, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were standing. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. And then in verse 5, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our native language?'" And then there's this super big long list of all the different countries and languages that the disciples were speaking in. And it included both Jewish people and converts to Judaism. And they all said, "We have heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" So what just happened here? The disciples and the followers of Christ were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They spoke in languages that they did not know, and the people heard them proclaim the wonders of God in their own language. And Peter is filled with boldness. Now, this is the same Peter that a little over a month ago denied Christ not once, but three times. And now we see him filled with boldness, and he proclaims the gospel, and 3,000 people are saved. Going on in verse 38, Peter replied to the crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Now, the need for the Holy Spirit in our life is in this life, and it's not until we get to heaven and we see him face to face that our need to be filled and refilled with the Spirit will end. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Our children need the Holy Spirit in our life. And those to come after us need the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit functions in our lives as God's presence within us and God's power working through us to transform our character and our thinking and our actions to be like Jesus so that we can be his witnesses. Now, the verses that we read this morning from Acts 19, 1 through 6, Paul encountered some Christians in Ephesus, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit." And so Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." Now, it's interesting here that this event happens with Paul in Ephesus. This happens 25 years after the coming of the Holy Spirit. It happens 25 years after Paul has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so 25 years later, he's still talking. The first thing he asks Christians when he meets them is like, "Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit?" So this isn't just like a passing fad, something that happened and now we're over it. This was his first question he asked when he met new believers, when he met people that he didn't know that were Christians. "Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit?" So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Now, if you do the Google and you say, "Why do I need the Holy Spirit?" you will get the top 20 reasons why you need the Holy Spirit. You will get the top 70 reasons why you need the Holy Spirit. Well, today I am going to give you Vicki Higgins' top 5 reasons why you need the Holy Spirit. And I will just tell you, these are the reasons that are near and dear to my heart. These are the ones that God has really spoken to me as reasons why we need the Holy Spirit. So these are my favorites. So top number one reason that you need the Holy Spirit in your life is because Jesus said so. He commanded us to wait for it. And it's important for us to see that Jesus commanded us to wait for it. It's one of the last instructions that he gave his church before he returned to heaven. In other words, he's saying, you need this in your life. Jesus himself is saying to you, you need this in your life. The second reason why do we need the Holy Spirit is because it's a gift from our Father. Now, just think of it. The God who created you, who put together all the little pieces of your personality, who put together what you look like, how tall you would be, the color of your hair or lack of hair. He put together your personality, your little quirks. God knows us better than we even know ourselves. And he has a gift for us that he picked out for us. Psalm 139:4 says that he knows us so well that even before a word is on our tongue, he knows it. Now, wouldn't this creator, this God of ours, who knows us better even than we know ourselves, wouldn't he know how to pick out a good gift for us? Now, this Christmas, I got an amazing gift, and on Christmas morning, my sister said to my kids, "Go downstairs in the garage and bring up that gift that I got Vicki." And so they come up, and they had this Cedar's chest. And I've been really wanting one, and I've been looking for one. I'm a thrifter and a, you know, antiquer, and I've been looking for one. And my sister had found one. She has a friend who lives in Wisconsin, and he has a barn, and they were looking in the barn, and he had one just sitting there. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, that's exactly what my sister has been looking for." And so she got it for free. So on Christmas morning, she brought this up. And I'll just tell you, I was shocked. It was like, wow, this is exactly what I was looking for. Now, how does somebody pick a gift for you that, is just right? Well, she picked it because she listened to me talk. She knows me. She knows what I was looking for. She knows that I've been looking for it for a long time. And so when she picked this gift, it was amazing to me. It was just so fun to get a gift like that, because she knew me so well. And God knows us even better than that. Okay, number three reason why we need the Holy Spirit. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we are the one who is being built up. You know, sometimes we act like we're doing God a favor if we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, okay, it's in there, so I guess we'll do it. But, you know, there are outward benefits for us when we receive the Holy Spirit. And the first one is that we receive his power, and that's the Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. We receive external benefits. All of a sudden, we have power in our lives. We have boldness. We have the ability to be a witness. So these are external, public kind of benefits of speaking in tongues. But did you know there's also internal, private benefits of speaking in tongues? In 1 Corinthians 14:2 and in verse 4, it says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue," or in their spiritual language, "they do not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter the mysteries by the Spirit." Now, what does that mean, to utter the mysteries by the Spirit? Well, that means that he gives us understanding as we pray in the Spirit to things that we haven't understood before. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. He gives us strength to make decisions and know that we've done the right thing because we spent time in his presence and he has revealed his purposes for us, his direction, his counsel. So we have that benefit when we pray privately in the Spirit of God just pouring his mysteries into us and revealing those things. Verse 4 goes on to say, "Anyone who speaks in a tongue or in a language edifies themselves." And what does edify mean? It means to be built up. It means to have growth in your life. It also means to be restored and to be repaired. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to be restored. Amen. I need to be built up. I need to be strong in my spirit. And as I pray in the Spirit, God builds me up. Jude 20 says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit." As we pray in the Spirit, our faith is built up. So there's so many benefits. There's external benefits. There's also the internal benefits, the public use of speaking in tongues, but also the private use where we are with God and he is pouring his counsel into us. Now, in doing research for this sermon, I found a website, and it is a website of scientific studies that have been compiled by Mark Verkler, and it's on the health benefits of speaking in tongues. Now, I don't know about you, but I love science. And so when I found this website, I thought it was super interesting because these are scientific studies that show the benefits of speaking in tongues. So the first one is Dr. Carl Peterson, MD, conducted a study at ORU in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And being a brain specialist, he was doing research on the relationship between the brain and praying or speaking in tongues. And he found that as we pray in the Spirit, or worship in the Spirit, our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed to our immune system and giving it 35 to 40% boost to the immune system. This promotes healing within our bodies, and amazingly, the secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans and is only activated by our Spirit-led prayer and worship. Now, I didn't make this up. This is a study. No, this is just science. So as in this study, as people spoke in tongues, their physical body was being built up. Their immune system, their strength was being built up. Another study showed that speaking in tongues influences the stress response among apostolic Pentecostals. This data in the study suggests that speaking in tongues is associated with a reduction in stress in response to normal stressors, and it's significantly associated with positive mood and calmness. Obviously, the reduction of stress is extremely helpful to one's immune system and entire health. Stress damages the body. Peace heals it. When people spent time praying in the Spirit, peace comes. And you know what? I've experienced that myself, and it's always fun when a study shows what I already know by just spending time with the Lord. And then the last one. In a recent study of nearly 1,000 evangelical Christians in England, they found that those who engaged in the practice of speaking in tongues were more emotionally stable than those who did not. And a New York Times article went on to say that contrary to what may be a common perception, studies suggest that people who speak in tongues rarely suffer from mental illness. So as people spoke in tongues, their minds were being healed. Their thinking was becoming right. It was being lined up to what God says. And so wholeness came into their bodies as they spent time in the presence of God. So these are all science, you know. I don't know. I like it when science reinforces what God's word says. All right, so the number four reason, why do we need the Holy Spirit in our life? Because the Holy Spirit enables us to communicate with God, spirit to spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, our spirit is talking to God's spirit. We are speaking directly to Him, and we are speaking His language. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes through us through wordless groans. Verse 27 says that He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So as we spend time praying in the Spirit, we pray the will of God. And so that's the fifth one. When we pray in the Spirit, we are praying in accordance to God's will. When we pray in the Spirit, we can be sure that we are praying 100% of God's will. Now, when I need to pray about something and I need to keep my opinion and my flesh out of it, I pray in the Spirit. I prayed in the Spirit when we were making the decision whether we should buy this building. Why? Because I had lots of opinions. But you know what? I didn't really want my opinion to be what we did. I wanted our decision to purchase this building or not purchase it to be based on what God wanted for us. And so I prayed in the Spirit a lot. I have adult children, and I pray in the Spirit for them because I don't always know what's going on in their life, and I don't always know what they need to do. Matter of fact, I never really know what they need to do. And in fact, I don't even know what I should do. So I pray in the Spirit a lot. And I think, too, as I have gotten older, I pray in the Spirit even more because I know how much I don't really know. And I know that when I pray in the Spirit, I am praying 100% in God's will. God gives us direction as we pray in the Spirit. And an example of the Holy Spirit in our life is like having a lamp. And we can plug it in. The power is available to us if we want it. But if we don't plug it in, we're not connected. It's there if we want it. So I just want to share with you then my personal experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's one thing to read the scriptures and to read about, you know, Bible times experiences. But I just want to share you a real life walk with the Lord and how the Holy Spirit came and filled me. Now, I grew up in a church where the Holy Spirit was tacked on at the end of a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then during the summer, we went to a denomination that believed that the baptism of the Holy Spirit had ended with the disciples. And as a teenager, I remember being in a service where they were reading about 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and they said that the Holy Spirit had ended, that that was for the disciples, and that was over. And I remember looking in my Bible at the chapters before those verses and the chapters after, and I'm thinking, I'm not really seeing how you came to that conclusion, but we'll just have to see about that. And so I kind of filed that one away in my brain. And then in the mid-1970s, there were a group of women in my mainline denominational church that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And instead of leaving our church and going to a Spirit-filled church, they made the choice to stay. And one of those women was my Sunday school teacher. And she had all these high hopes that her Sunday school class was going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we had done a Bible study. We'd read every verse on about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she had a friend of hers come, and we had a Sunday morning Sunday school class where he went around and he prayed for each one of us to receive the Holy Spirit. And I'll just tell you, nothing happened. And my poor Sunday school teacher was just devastated. I could just see it on her that somehow we had failed her, but I didn't know what we, you know, I didn't know what we didn't do or whatever. And she was just so discouraged. But you know what? She prayed for us. She didn't leave it there. I know that she prayed for us. And in that Sunday school class of 10 kids, three of us became pastors. And what I really think is funny is two of us are Spirit-filled pastors. She got the answer to her prayer. It was just at a different time. Mm-hmm. But I am and forever grateful for her prayers for me as a teenager. Now then, when I was in college, I attended a Spirit-filled Chi Alpha group on campus. And in many ways, these Chi Alpha people made me feel incredibly uncomfortable. But in many ways, I wanted what they had. When they worshiped the Lord, they didn't just sing songs, they worshiped the Lord. And they were exuberant. That was, I think, the part that kind of bugged me. You know, I read my Bible, I served the Lord, but they had something that I didn't have, and I wanted it. And eventually I came to the place where I believed that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for today, and I wanted it, but I didn't want it. I wanted it, but not like that. you know, that other stuff is fine for them, but I'm okay without it, but I did kind of want it. And God wanted something more for me, too. And he started bringing it up when I would be in my quiet time. And he would say to me, I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, let's just be super honest here. It can be awkward. This whole Holy Spirit thing is just awkward. It makes your faith messy. God isn't in a little neat little box. And for me, I didn't want to be one of those people, you know. And there was something of my flesh in my pride that needed to die. And there were two arguments that the Lord used with me, and the first one was that Jesus commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a difference between having Jesus as your buddy, and then there is a difference between having Jesus as your Lord. Mm-hmm. And when I would read those verses that Jesus commanded it, that Lord part is like, you know what? I love him. I serve him. I want to obey him. And so I was making that switch from him being my friend to him being my Lord. Then the other thing that he would kind of argue with me was, Vicki, this is a gift. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and why would I give you a bad gift? Matthew 7:9 says, which of you, if your son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Why would God give me a bad gift? And so I'll be really honest. Jesus exhausted me. You know, they always hear, oh, the Holy Spirit, he's such a gentleman, you know. No, he's not. He wore me out in a good way. And again, every time I would go to pray, he would bring it up. And I felt like he was like a little kid who has a present that they want to give you. And it's like, do you want to open it now? You know, can we open the gifts now? And it's like, I felt like that was how Jesus was with me. I have a gift to give you. Want to open it now? And he wore me out. He absolutely wore me out. And my only thought with that was, okay, Lord, I surrender. But can it just be you and me? I mean, please don't drag me up into the front of the church and have a bunch of people come and pray for me and do that Shazam thing or anything like that. I just don't think I can do that, Lord. And God was very, very merciful to me. And I was home alone. I was praying and reading my Bible on the couch by myself when he brought it up again. And this time I said, you know what, Lord, yes, I really want this. And it was very simple. Was very private, It was just me and him. And as I prayed, words just kind of came up in my spirit, and I spoke them out just quietly. And my spirit was talking to God. It was just super simple. No big Shazam. Just me and him. And what happened in my life after that, it gave me a boldness and a confidence in God that I didn't have before. I served the Lord. I loved him. But all of a sudden, there was a boldness and a strength that wasn't there before. It gave me power over sins in my life that I had struggled with. And it changed me. It brought me closer to God. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was always near to me. It brought an intimacy there that I didn't have before. Now, well, you might say, but Vicki, you know what? I prayed for the Holy Spirit before, and it just didn't happen, you know? And, you know, I don't feel like trying anymore. And so I just want to just bring up just a few things that if you have been asking the Lord for it and it hasn't happened, let's just kind of look at a few things. First of all, the Holy Spirit is for people who believe in Christ as their Savior. It's not for just anybody off the street. It is for those who have a relationship, a saving relationship with him. And then also, Jesus wants to be our Lord, not just our buddy. He is our friend. He is our Savior, but he wants to be our Lord. And if he is Lord, then we need to get rid of any deliberate and intentional patterns of disobedience. We need to confess them, and we need to repent. And then lastly, a possible hindrance is there anyone that we need to forgive? Is there any offense that we're holding on to that we need to let go of? And, you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit, that it fills us. That's not a one-time thing. It is being filled and refilled so that we can pour it out and God can fill us up again. And so I go through these lists. I ask myself, is there a place where I'm not letting Jesus be Lord? Is there a deliberate, intentional pattern of disobedience that it's time to deal with it, Vicki? Do I need to forgive somebody? Do I need to let go of an offense that I've just been kind of hanging on to? And so we need to, if we want to just keep being filled and refilled and fresh and having him flow through our lives, it's a good thing to ask ourselves these questions. And I hope, as I've taught, that you hear my heart. I don't want us to put the Holy Spirit in a box and just, you know, read about him in our Bible. I want very much for him to fill us. I want you guys to be standing in the swimming pool going, whoa, look at all this Holy Spirit. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. And so I just really want to encourage you just to spend time this week in his presence. Just let him fill you. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
God, we just open up our hearts to you. Lord, I pray that you would just come. Come, God, into those broken areas, into those wounded areas, God, into those dry areas. Lord, I pray you would just come in with your powerful Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us with your power and with your peace. God, fill us up and strengthen us. God, help us to feel your power moving through us. Lord, I pray you would just give us that assurance of peace,
yes,
and rest for our spirits. Lord, I pray that people would just know at just a deeper level of their spirits talking with you and you talking with them. Lord, I pray you would just reveal your mysteries to us as we spend time in your presence. Lord, just draw us to you. Just draw us continually to you. To be filled up, to overflow, so that we can be poured out on those around us. God, we just thank you so much for your Spirit. Lord, I pray you just come and fill us and fill us and fill us one more time. Fill us again. In Jesus' name.